It's the most unique talk radio in America. Barsky Radio.
The latest story here, and this has been kind of going around for years, is that Bill Clinton has a black son that he had with a former hooker in Arkansas. The guy's name is Danny Williams. He's 30 years old. Claims he's the biological son of Bill Clinton. He has now announced plans, since everybody's suing everybody, to sue the former president in a New York court and demand he provides DNA evidence for a paternity test. This goes back to 1985. It says he was born in 1985. His mother, Bobby Ann Williams, great prostitute name for Arkansas.
That's perfect.
That's Arkansas prostitute
right there. Yeah.
So anyway, she says that Clinton is the father, since he was her only white client at the time. So now he is demanding that Clinton provides some sort of DNA test. I mean, listen, all they have to do is pick up the phone and call Lewinsky. I'm sure there's another dress there somewhere. A pair of jeans or something. You know, like Lewinsky's hanging on to one more bit of evidence. The blue dress wasn't the only evidence out there.
A couple of cushions or something.
Yeah, there's something she collected. There's got to be. There had to be more DNA around that Oval Office than the Playboy Mansion back when Clinton was in the office. You walk around the Oval Office with a black light, it would have been just horrendous. But here's what needs to happen. They need to go on Maury.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, now we're going to bring out 30-year-old Danny Williams. Do we know who the baby daddy is? Let's find out. Come on out, former President Bill Clinton. Everybody's like giving him the finger. You don't know me. You don't know me. Oh, by the way, did you see the picture of him in the Sun Sentinel? This is hysterical. Today, there's a picture of Clinton because he was in South Florida over the weekend. He was at black churches and at synagogues. He's in the limo. He's like, where are we going to next? We're going to, the church? All right. Give me my dashiki. Where's my dashiki? Hello, my brothers and sisters. What up, my nizzles? What up? Bill is in his house. Brothers and sisters, I have a dream today.
You know, he gets it, gets it in there.
Right. And everybody's sitting back there fanning themselves. Well, yes, sir. Well, my friends, I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I love you. You know how much I love the black community. I give you one good example, Bobby Ann Williams. Well, yes, sir. Praise Jesus. In fact, right now, I'd like to introduce to all my brothers and sisters my son over here, Danny Williams. You might have seen him on the Morris Show. I'm proud of him. I love him. He's my boy. He and I are going to go fishing later, catch some catfish. We'll have a fish fry out back for y'all. I know you like that kind of food. We have a catfish. We're going to have some collard greens, you know. Yeah, so he was at the black churches, and then he went over to, this is my favorite part, he went over to Pembroke Pines, to the Century Pines Jewish Center, and there's a picture of him with the yarmulke on. He's about to walk in with the dashiki on, and they're like, whoa, 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 Bill, you have to take the dashiki off. Oh, Jesus, yeah, that will not go. Get me my beanie. Where's my beanie? How are you, my mishpucha? Good to see all of you. I've been sitting on spilkas all day, waiting to come in and talk to you, my Jewish brethren. I don't know if you know that. I'm going to tell you a quick story here about growing up in Hope, Arkansas. My mom and I were the only two Jews in Hope, Arkansas. Blowing yourself up for whatever jihad or whatever is such a leap of faith.
Oh, man.
I have a hard time believing that someone who's going to kill innocent people in the name of quote-unquote Allah is going to go to a place that's called paradise. Like, the suicide bombers should really be, like, in their 90s. You know, there's, like, 30 seconds left in the game. You're ready to take a knee. You go, listen, I should be dead by now. But when you're, like, 25, you're 26, you haven't even lived life yet. You haven't even seen what life is all about. The only thing that's been promised to you, according to the Quran, supposedly, is the 72 virgins. And I go, there you go, that's it.
Well, and the thing that worries me is, how come they're virgins?
So where are the 72 virgins? Can I see them? Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Oh. If you blow yourself up, if you're a suicide bomber, let me just tell you right now, Quran, Bible, I don't care. You're not going to heaven. And I think what happens is these guys blow themselves up. And as a goof, As a goof, I think God says, all right, let's just send them up there to the pearly gates just to tease them. We know where they're going. The guy gets up there. I'd like to see what my reservation is. And then I don't think it's St. Peter, but I think it's some doorman, some like guy.
Probably a will call window.
Yeah, it's like a bouncer, like a guy by the name of Nick. Hey, how you doing? You want to get in? Who are you? You are Muhammad Akhbaka. Yeah, all right, let me see you. Yeah, you're not on this list. You blew yourself up, right? No, you don't get in. What about the 72 virgins? 72 virgins? There's no 72 virgins up here. There's no sex in heaven. What's the matter with you? Who told you that? Let me ask you a question. You like the heat? Well, it would get to be 115 from time to time. Sure. All right, times that by 100, because that's where you're going. All right? I got a pal by the name of Lou Cipher. He's downstairs. Ask for him, because that's where you're going.
Lou,
I got another one. He blew himself up. Yeah. By the way, too, how are you going to have sex with 72 virgins with no body left? I'm talking to a head. Oh, good point. Good point. I grew up in an area where Little League Baseball was a very big thing. It wasn't just the games and then that was it. It was a whole big production. Opening day would be Sunday, and Friday night would be uniform night. That's when you would get the uniform. And because I was a kid and I had a wild imagination, I thought it was like the Academy Awards. I thought it was like the Oscars. Because I must have seen some sort of ceremony, you know, on some movie or something. So in my mind, I'm like 9 or 10 years old. I'm thinking that my dad is going to this big ceremony. I should probably get the right music for this. Yeah, this is right. So I'm thinking my dad is going to go to this big ceremony, and like all the parents are going to be, like all the dads are there, and all the coaches are there, and the commissioner of the Little League is there, and I'm thinking, like, my dad's wearing the tux. And then they, you know, they're ready to give him the uniform for me, you know, and I wanted number 7. That was my number. And now, accepting uniform number 7 of the Dodgers is Paul Barsky's dad. And he just walks up on the stage. Thank you. Thank you very much. My son will enjoy this. And that's what I thought happened, because the next morning, I would wake up and the uniform would be folded and laid flat on my dresser. I'd have the uniform there with the hat on top, brand new, crisp, like a flannel uniform with the felt numbers. And that went on for like 4 years of that. I'm thinking every year uniform night was that big production where he would go and it was like a big cocktail party and, you know, you'd have the cameras would be snapping and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Did you see Paul Barsky's uniform? He got 7 again. And I would always request that. And for me, I didn't grow up with Christmas. This was my Christmas. So basically, you know how kids don't sleep the night before Christmas, that they're all excited and they can't wait to see the present. For me, that Friday night, going to sleep was almost impossible. And they had it like 9 o'clock at night because most parents worked two jobs or whatever. So they have it late. So by the time my dad got home from this thing, it's like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm obviously sleeping. So when I wake up, there it is. It was like magical, you know? I gotta get the music again because it really is magical. So I wake up and there it is, my uniform. I put my uniform on. It's like Saturday morning. And, you know, I'm standing in front of the mirror. I'm looking at it, admiring it. And sure enough, my friends, same thing happened to them. I had two different friends on two different teams. And I'd get up like 8:30. I'd run over to my friend's house. He'd have his uniform on. And we'd throw the ball around and have a catch. And the deal was you couldn't get your uniform dirty because the next day was opening day. And that was the Little League parade.
Oh, boy.
So it was like a big parade where they, you know, we closed down Main Street and the fire engines and, you know, all of the people would come out. The whole town came out for this and all the kids would march down the street. It was very Americana. It was very, very the Wonder Years. So years later, we move away. Then we move back to Long Island and it's my brother's turn to do Little League. So same thing happens. You know, I'm already out of it by now, but he's asking me, you know, like, where's uniform night? Nobody knew where it was. It was like in a secret location. And he would ask me, he goes, where's uniform night? And I go, I have no idea. All I know is that Dad is asked to go to some secret location to get your uniform. And he played for the Braves, and he wanted number 15. So sure enough, same thing happened. He'd go to sleep. He'd wake up, and there would be the uniform right there on the dresser, folded nicely, the hat there. My brother, same thing. He would get dressed in his uniform, and I would go out and have a catch with him. And then my junior year of high school, my dad couldn't make it to uniform night. He was working two jobs. So he pulls me aside. He says, I'm ready to go out and do something with my friends. He goes, oh, no, wait a second. What are you doing tonight? I go, oh, I got – he says, no, I need you to go to uniform night. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I am not prepared for this.
I'm not worthy.
I'm like 16, 17 years old. I still think uniform night is in some, like, you know, shrine auditorium. Like there's a red carpet out there and, you know, all the – I'm like, whoa, I don't know. I said, where is it? It's the first time I ever asked him. He goes, it's at the junior high every year. I go, the junior high? It's not in some secret auditorium. He goes, no, it's I've been doing this since you were doing it. It's the same place every year. Just go there, like 9 o'clock, go pick up the uniform. Do I need a tux for this or a suit? No, just go and pick the uniform up. What are you asking these questions for? So I go to the junior high, and there are the signs. It says uniform night, right? And I'm walking into the junior high school, and the signs are leading me to the cafeteria. I just see arrows. And I look to my right, and in the cafeteria, on all the lunch tables where all these kids eat their disgusting lunches, were brown paper bags with names of kids on the paper bags. I'm looking and going, this is freaking uniform night? This sucks! So I go in and I'm looking around. I said to somebody, this is uniform night, right? They goes, yeah. Like I should know. Yeah, what's your brother's name? I'm picking up for Adam Barsky. Hey, right over there. What team does he play for? The Braves. Right over there. Take a walk over there. And there it was, crumpled in like a supermarket paper bag was the uniform. And so I was like, they say the day you lose your innocence, that was the day for me.
Uniform night.
It was uniform night because it was all completely blown out of like, what the hell is this? I remember driving home just completely and totally blown away. I was like, holy crap. So the last thing I need to do is, you know, tell my brother what this is all about. So, of course, I sneak into his room. I put the uniform on the dresser, just like my dad would do. I ditched the brown paper bag with his name on it. I think I burned it because I didn't want to ruin it for him. And, of course, he woke up the next morning, put the uniform on, same thing. He goes,
funny.
Yeah, and he didn't know I went. He thought it was my dad again. And he goes, I got my same number. And I said, someday I'll tell you a story about uniform night. You're not going to like it. I was in the mall. I was in a little shopping, and I went from store to store. And I heard Tony Bennett sing. And that's all it took. And then all of a sudden, I was like, sled bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, the snow is glistening. The beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a Tony Bennett wonderland, ladies and gentlemen. All freaking weekend long, I'm doing that. To nobody but myself, I'm in the car. Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be at the Tony Bennett Christmas special. Be honest with you, at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Bringing on my special guest, Lady Gaga. She's just marvelous, terrific. Let's sing one for the kids. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. Everything I heard, I was doing Tony Bennett. Even if it wasn't like a Christmas song, I heard like Bon Jovi, and I'm immediately went, shot to the heart, and you're to blame. You give love a bad name. In the car, I'm doing it, and there's nobody there. How pathetic is that? I couldn't stop. I was locked in a Tony Bennett prison of my own making.
Barsky Radio.